This show is brought to you by earpeeler.com.
Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
This episode is brought to you by True Cult Coffee. True Cult Coffee takes pride in offering single origin coffees. No gimmicky flavors or mixing in cheaper beans. Just great premium coffee roasted in small batches. Now offering monthly subscriptions. Customers will save over 10% with subscriptions. This month features two free metal albums, Hellfrost, The Pagan Sun, and Sist, The Frozen Casket. So go to trvekvltcoffee.com to sign up for the subscriptions. Or if you want to follow him on Instagram and Twitter, you can go to trve.kvlt.coffee and you will see all the deals and all the special offers that they make. Check out True Cult Coffee because they are truly awesome.
Hello, this is the Crazy from the Negro Abortions. Welcome to Interactive Metal.
Horns up, metalheads. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Kareem, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a Oh Canada episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 511, and I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
Hey, dude, what's going on?
Wow, it's really quiet tonight. It's just you and me, buddy.
It is. We only have two of the four horsemen of the apocalypse with us. The others, you know, Aaron and Kareem had something going on, but it just kind of hit me earlier today. I don't know how apropos it is and all that. It's too bad they're not able to join us, but it's not that I threw together like a themed episode. It just like on purpose, it all just kind of fell in sort of place. And you'll notice with the music I chose for this episode and everything, and considering as we speak what the day is, it's kind of apropos that the Americans didn't show up for this episode. Happy Canada Day to you, my friend, as we speak. It's not actually, you know what, it's not every day that I acknowledge you as a full Canadian, eh?
Yeah, oh geez. Thanks, man.
Yes.
Well, the weird thing is, you know, by the time people listen to this, it's actually both countries will have celebrated their anniversaries, you know. So, you know, Canada Day's on July 1st, and you know, the 4th of July is Independence Day in the US. But you know, you're listening to this, if you're listening on the release, today is the what, 6th?
It'll be the 6th. Yeah, the 6th.
So, you know, so hey, happy Independence Day to everybody else.
Everyone else, yeah. Hey, like I said, it's nothing here that's going to be kind of a like, I didn't intentionally put together any sort of theme, but it all maybe that's just reflective of the times and all that. But it all kind of fell into place, and by the time the end of this episode, you know, goes down, everyone listening will go, oh yeah, okay. I can definitely see it. Just when it comes to, you know, to the songs and our creature feature and my metal fix and all that. Yeah. Going to be very interesting. How is everything going with you this week, though?
It's good. It's just, you know, as busy as I was at work recently, it's like I got nothing to do these days. So it's like, it's literally nothing. So, hey, you know, I get home at a decent time and, you know, I don't have to go to bed super early because, you know, even though if I go to bed a little bit later, it's okay because I got nothing to do at work. So if I'm a little tired at work, it's fine. Yeah. So, hey.
Right. Hey, yeah. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's bad. There's no pressure on you. But on the other hand, it makes the day go by longer. And then you end up pissing around on your phone and it's excruciating.
Yeah. Oh my God! I don't know how I get up 20 times to go to the bathroom, even though I don't need to go to the bathroom.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I got nothing else to do. Yeah. I'll go. Yeah. Let me go tinkle. You know. I got nothing to tinkle. Yeah. All right. Whatever. Wash my hands. Come back out.
Of course.
That was 3 minutes. Woo!
All the normies come up to you and want to talk about normie shit, and you're like, God,
Not even that, because everybody sits at their desk. Because we're not supposed to be standing around and chit chatting and stuff. You know, they don't want that. So, you know, so you just sit at your desk and do fucking nothing, literally.
So. Okay. Well, hopefully everyone's sitting at their desk listening to the podcast version of this. We're going to entertain them something fierce this week, because I've got a kick-ass creature feature and a whole whack of cool stuff to talk about. I'm also kind of itching to hear what you just went through, I believe, as we speak just last night. I'm dying to know, so maybe we should get on with it.
And what cool shit did we do this week? Find out in our Metal Fix.
Hey, what's going on, dude?
All right. Well, you want me to start with the metal stuff or with the wrestling stuff?
whatever you want to do.
Okay, the metal stuff will be kind of short. Just listen to a lot of podcasts, because, you know, nothing to do. So, have you ever, you know, when you get on YouTube, all right, and you're just like pissing around on there, like you like to say, you know. You're just looking at stuff. I'm sure you've seen the videos, the Wikipedia fact or fiction by Loudwire. They did these a lot of these in 2014, 15, and 16. Have you ever watched those?
No. It's probably something I probably have seen the logos or whatever and just never got to it.
You should check them out, because it's one of those things where you watch one, then you watch 10. You know? And okay. they're relatively short, between 9 and 15 minutes apiece. And basically, you know, at work, we're not supposed to be going on the internet, but fuck it. That's what I've been doing. I was doing this week. I was watching Wikipedia, Fact or Fiction. But basically what they do, Loudwire would have somebody come into their offices, a metal guy or a rock and roll guy, and then they would take stuff off of Wikipedia and ask directly to the star. They would read it and then say, is this fact or fiction? Because everybody knows that everything on Wikipedia is true, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah, Wikipedia is chock full of inaccuracies because anybody can edit Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. So I watched a bunch of those, man. It's like, you know, you go down a rabbit hole. Some of the interesting ones that I watched was Ace Frehley. They had one with Ace Frehley. They had one with Gene Simmons also, which was really interesting. I watched one with Vinnie Paul, you know, actually. Mm-hmm. And he had a great story. You know, he's a huge hockey fan, right? Mm-hmm. And he's talking about, you know, the host that's with him is reads a thing off Wikipedia. Says, well, when the Dallas Stars won the cup in, what was it, 92 or whatever, the Stanley Cup. So you had a party at your house and Guy Carboneau threw the Stanley Cup from the roof of your house into the pool and damaged the Stanley Cup.
No.
And he goes, false, but with some truth. And he goes, it wasn't the roof of the house. It was the balcony. And he said, after quite a few hours of partying and drinking, Guy Carboneau had the Stanley Cup up above his head. Said, "Hey, Vinny, catch!" And he throws it, and it hit the side of the pool. Boom! And then it went it bounced into the pool and says Vinny and a bunch of other hockey players and a bunch of other guys jumped on top of the Stanley Cup and tried to dunk it. But he said it's very buoyant because it's empty inside, you know. So he said they couldn't keep it down at the bottom of the pool. You know, it just kept coming up. And the NHL, for those who don't know, the NHL, well, what they do when a team wins the Stanley Cup, each player gets to have the Stanley Cup for a day. And they can do whatever they want. Some guys will just do like a meet and greet where they raise money for charity and people can take a picture with the player and with the Stanley Cup. All sorts of things. Some people will do a parade in their hometown. Let's say if they come from a small town, they'll bring the Stanley Cup there. They can do whatever. Some guys just have a party at their house. You know, and this is what happened. I can't remember which player, but one of the players brought it to Vinnie Paul's house. But the NHL has a guy that travels with the Stanley Cup to make sure everything's okay and that it doesn't disappear, because apparently that's happened in the past, you know, where it just
No doubt.
So apparently the guy, when he saw the cup bounce off the side of the pool and then the guy's trying to dunk it, he's like, and apparently he was French-Canadian, he's like, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. It's the Stanley Cup. And Vinnie Paul says, well, we just did it, motherfucker. So, yeah, apparently it was digging at the bottom and stuff.
Oh, man, yeah, the stories that Stanley Cup must have. Like, yeah, wow.
Yeah, so that, you know, so that Wikipedia fact or fiction thing that Lothwire does, there's a ton of stuff like that. There's one with Phil Anselmo, there's Vinnie Paul, there's Gene Simmons, there's Ace Frehley, there's Chris Jericho did one also, but, you know, relating to Fozzie, you know, all sorts of stuff, man. It's really, really, really fun stuff. It looks like the most recent one that I saw was 2016, so they may have stopped doing them, but, man, even though they're kind of, some of them are kind of dated, they're great. Oh, there's one with Ice-T also. That's really great. Yeah, yeah. Oh, his is really interesting. There's a few things where they're totally false, but the majority of it is true, and man, that guy had quite the childhood. Whew. Oh my god, you definitely need to watch that one. So
I think I'm going to. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's definitely worth it. So I watched that, and one of the podcasts I listened to was the Osbournes. You know, I've told you how they released it. They did a series of 10 episodes, and the episode I listened to this week was super interesting because you know how I like photography, and they had Ross Halfen, the famous rock photographer, on.
Right.
And he's very good friends with the Osbournes and stuff. And they were, you know, they were just talking about all sorts of stuff. And then at one point, Jack Osbourne asks him, he says, well, so who was the worst subject that you've ever photographed? And he goes, well, he says, the worst are the pop stars. And he says, I will not do – whoa. Somebody's calling you?
No.
He says, I will. Oh, you're not listening to me. Okay. You're punching me on the internet. No. Okay. All right. So anyway, he tells a story about how, you know, the worst are the pop stars. And he says he will never work with a pop star ever again. Then he told a couple stories, like when Prince did his Purple Rain tour. Okay. This is really early on in his career, you know, so he did not have time yet to be like to make millions of dollars. But Ross Halfen said he was in L.A. with another band, and he said the night before Prince had played at the L.A. Forum. So he says by the time the band that he was with got to the arena, you know, they were still breaking down some of the stuff from the Prince show the night before. And he said one of the things he noticed, it was some gaffer tape on the floor, and he said it was purple.
Okay.
And they were like, they had drawn like arrows, okay? And then he had a little thing that said catering. And then he was looking at the arrows and he was just following the arrows. And he's like, okay, follow the arrows. And they would take you to the back, somewhere in the place to the back, to the dressing rooms. And I guess at one point he talked to one of the employees that worked at the Forum. He says, well, what's this all about? He says, Prince doesn't want anybody to look at him. So basically, the catering people were instructed to bring the food. They were instructed to look at the arrows, follow the arrows, and when they got to the table, put the stuff on the table, and the arrows then made a U-turn for them to go back out and leave, and they were not allowed to look at him.
Oh, God.
You know, and he said stuff like that happens all the time, you know, with these pop stars. He said the last pop star that he worked with was, Whitney Houston, and he said that she was doing a concert in the round. And he was hired by the record company and I think some PR to do it, to do the show. And he gets started with three cameras. He had an assistant. And then somebody down there, you know, when he went to go into the photo pit, he was getting ready before the show to go into the photo pit, said, you're shooting one song. And he's like, well, no, I usually shoot three songs because that's the norm. You know, I've done a lot of myself, a lot of concert photography. Mm-hmm. It's three songs.
Yeah, you know that, yeah.
Yeah, it's three songs. They let you do three songs. So once in a while, they'll say one song, but I think it's happened once, and I don't even remember who. But, you know, he said, no, you get one song. He says, no, he says, fuck you, I'm doing three songs. And Russ Halfin is amazing. The way he talks, dude, he's British, and he's, oh, man, he's a no-nonsense guy. So he's like, fuck you, no, I'm doing three songs. He said, nope, you're doing one song. And instead of arguing, he said, okay, one song. He said, and your assistant stays here. Because his assistant was going to go with him and shoot also. He says, nope, just you. He's like, well, motherfucker. So he goes over there with his three cameras, and he puts two of them down on the side of the stage. Okay, so the show starts. He takes pictures and stuff. And then he's kind of looking from the corner of his eye when the song ends. He's like, okay, maybe I can get away with doing another couple of songs. You know. And the guy was on the side, and he was like, doing the sign, you know, like the cut the throat. It's like, enough, okay. You're done. You're done, you know. So he's like, okay. Then he turns around to grab his cameras. They're gone. He's like, what the fuck? Then he realizes, oh, this is a show in the round. The stage is rotating. So his cameras were on the other side of the stage. So he goes to that security guy, whoever. He says, hey, he says, can I go get my cameras? I didn't realize that the stage was going around. The guy says, nope. He's like, what do you mean no? I got thousands of dollars of equipment right there on the edge of the stage. Somebody's going to swipe it. It's like, nope, you can't go. And he had to wait till the end of the concert to go get his two cameras that sat there for the whole concert. So he said, that's the thing with pop stars, you know? He said, It's crazy. And the worst one, and this I would have punched somebody. Norah Jones. You know Norah Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Apparently, her PR and record label hired Russ Halfin to spend 10 days with her, like at her house and rehearsal studio and stuff, to take pictures, you know, for the making of whatever that she was doing. She gets there, and he introduces himself, shakes her hand, says, hi, I'm Ross. I'm going to be your photographer for the next 10 days and stuff. She's like, oh, really? Oh, okay, well, that's fine. I honestly don't want to see you, so make yourself invisible. And as a matter of fact, I don't want you within 350 feet of me. And Ozzy just like, Ozzy, this is the Osborne podcast. Ozzy's like, what? Were you doing promo pictures for her merchandise? He's like, well, yeah, that was one of the purposes. He's like, what? Was she going to be like an inch tall on her t-shirts or something? Because you were so far. And then finally he was like, oh, this is bullshit. You know, the guy is, this is bullshit. So somebody from the PR that's very high up in her organization went to her and says, listen, this is what we need. We need this. This is why he's here. We hired him for this, to take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, okay. Well, I don't want him within 50 feet of me. And Russ Halfin said that every time he pulled out, you know, let's say she was on the piano rehearsing something, every time he would pull out his camera to take a picture, she would turn her head. So he said that night there was a concert. She did a concert. I tried to take pictures during the day. I took pictures of the concert, and then I told him, fuck off, I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
So that is an amazing episode just for the behind the scenes stuff that he tells about.
Mm-hmm. And
of course, there's tons of stories with Ozzy that he talks about that are hilarious, you know, but I won't share those because those listeners you have to check it out. You know, the Osbournes podcast, you got to check that out because, man, it's fantastic. That episode's fantastic.
I'm going to, because this is the shit that fuels me. When people say, Snowy, where do you get your fucking attitude from? Well, it's this. This is why, you know, I have this disdain for anything like non-metal and hardcore. And just, it's stuff like that, especially like you're talking about these big egos and all that in this podcast. Well, tonight's creature feature, okay, I basically walked up to the guy and said, hey, you want to talk? Yeah, sounds good, you know. that's what separates, you know, everything.
Yep,
and stuff like that. Oh, I'm gonna give that a listen. That's awesome. Yep.
And the last thing I want to talk about real quick, I mean, it's not metal related, but, you know, everybody knows our love of wrestling, of pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. And once in a while we do wrestling interviews. Last night we were very lucky to have New Japan Pro Wrestling show up in Daytona Beach. So they were here because of a gaming convention that's happening. Well, as we speak, of course, it's happening now, but by the time you listen to this, it's over. But it's a fighting game convention. So all the top fighting games, you know, stuff like Mortal Kombat and all that stuff, it's all represented there. And people go there to play tournaments and win prizes. And, you know, it's for gamers. It's a bunch of nerds. So, you know. But the reason why New Japan Pro Wrestling was there is because Kenny Omega, their top star, their number one guy, is a huge gamer. And he's one of the top gamers in the world on in certain a couple of games. I can't remember which ones. But he goes to this show. It's called CEO Gaming, whatever. He goes to this every year. And he's friends with the guy, the owner of the company and all that. So they decided to put together a New Japan wrestling card in conjunction with the show. So the show was at the Ocean Center in Daytona Beach, which is a nice venue. I was surprised. It's like 8,400 seats or something for concerts. So it's fairly big. And talking with my two friends that went with me, they've been to concerts there, you know. So and they said, yeah, it's a great place. You know, it's a great place to go. So I don't know how many tickets they sold. It was well over 1,000. I would say maybe a couple thousand. Tickets that they sold, and man, it was amazing. It was so much fun. It was so different than WWE, you know. First off, it wasn't as well organized. WWE, they run on a clock, you know. If they say doors open at 7, doors open at 7, you know. And they very rarely are they going to be running late. So, but the doors were supposed to open at 7, and then the dark matches were supposed to come on at 8, and then the main card started at 8:30. Well, we didn't get in till 8:30 because the doors were not open.
Wow.
And then I think the dark matches started at 9, you know, and then, we didn't get out of there till after midnight. And by the time I got home, it was 2:30 in the morning, you know, cause Daytona, I'm in Orlando. So Daytona is a good hour drive or so. So yeah, okay. it was rough. It was rough, but man, such a great show. Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi, the Golden Lovers, were in the main event against I don't even know how to say it, the Los Ingobernables de Japón.
You did better than I would have.
It was Tatsuya Naito and what's his first name? I can't even remember his first name, but Takahashi. He's Yeah, he's the junior heavyweight champion right now. He beat Will Ospreay recently for the title. Yeah, and of course Kenny Omega is the IWGP champion right now. He's the top guy. So it was great. We had them. We had Roppongi 3K showed up. We had those guys are ripped. Oh my god. They look tiny on TV, but no, they're not. And we had Dragon Lee. We had the Gorillas of Destiny. We had Rocky Romero. And we had a fucking legend of Japanese wrestling who has also wrestled in North America. And I believe for sure in WCW, maybe WWE, but we had Jushin Thunder Liger.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh man, nice. That was great. Nice. That was amazing. You know, the guy's in his early 50s now, so he doesn't do what he used to do. But he was still super entertaining. You know, it was a good time. It was a really good time. So, yeah. And if anybody wants to watch it, and you know, the whole show was professionally filmed, the whole thing. It was basically a glorified house show. It wasn't an official New Japan show because it wasn't listed on their website. It was more like a house show type thing. But, you know, we had top superstars. And the whole thing was filmed by CEO Gaming. And it was aired on their Twitch channel online, live. So if you go, I think it's twitchtv.com/CEO Gaming, I think. You'll see the whole show, the dark matches included, everything.
Oh, right on.
The whole damn thing. But you know, if you guys don't remember, it was Twitch TV, whatever. You just go to Google and do CEO XNJPW, and you'll find it. And X, you know, they say cross, you know, whatever. It's
okay.
Fandang, you know, whatever. So, but yeah, look it up on Google, and you'll find the Twitch link. It's usually the first one. If people prefer to just go to YouTube, you can also find the matches, but they've broken it up just, you know, one match at a time, you know, because the show was over 4 hours, you know, the on Twitch it's the whole thing and it's over 4 hours. So, yeah. So they,
well, right on. I'm glad I'm on holidays now. I'm glad that this is a holiday. Yeah. I think I'm going to be spending it watching some wrestling. And you know what? Your mental fix, this kind of, you know, fixes in with that, because Kenny Omega, big metalhead and a Canadian, mm-hmm. and a Winnipegger.
Yep. So
So definitely fits. Well, I'm so glad you had a good time. I'm green. I have some friends around here that are big wrestling fans, and mm-hmm. they're like, every time you go to an event, they're like, oh, that fucking guy.
I know, Ducky especially, right?
Especially, yeah. And then he goes out and he tells some wrestling friends, and they're like, really? Oh, wow.
Motherfuckers at New Japan tonight.
Right now, yeah. What the hell?
No, we're lucky. Jeez. We're very lucky here in Florida. We're extremely lucky to have mm-hmm. all these great shows around. And did you see today they announced, WWE announced that they signed Io Shirai? She was like the top girl in Stardom in Japan.
And
she's coming to WWE. She announced it today because WWE's in Japan right now doing a tour, and she came out and announced it. And for people who follow WWE, she's like one of the really good friends with Kairi Sane, who's currently in NXT, and they were supposed to come together last year, but Io had some kind of medical issue, so they told her, well, get that resolved and then you can come. So now she's coming. Now she announced it. She's coming to NXT. So I can't wait, because she is amazing. She's amazing. She's great. So it's going to be great to she's probably going to be on the Mae Young Classic.
Oh, right on. Is that coming?
I have my tickets. Of course. I have my tickets for it.
Shut up.
And the funny thing is, dude, and I got lucky. I got really lucky because I'm going to Canada, visit my family in August, right? I'm gonna be there from July 31st until August 7th, okay. Mm-hmm. And then the very next day, August 8th and 9th, is the Mae Young Classic. So I got real lucky because I'm coming back the day before the first night. So because I have been, debating, should I come back on Tuesday or Wednesday? I'll come back on Tuesday. You know, it's a good thing I decided to do that, because I'd be missing the first night.
Right.
So I'm going to both nights. It's sold out and I can't wait, because it was super fun last year also.
Right on. Well, have fun. Yeah, that's right. Your annual trip up north here. Right? That means you're going to leave me alone with those Americans, man. What are you doing to me? Why are you leaving me alone with them? Holy Jesus.
You deserve it. You deserve it.
I guess so. I guess so. Oh, I got to say, you got anything else?
No, that's enough. I've been yakking for way too long.
No, it's talk show, dude. I got pretty lucky up here myself, actually, with my mental fix. Starting off with last weekend, speaking of good Canadian boys, Sebastian Bach came through town.
Oh, how was that?
Doing his solo thing. Well, it was definitely different. I just assumed that it was going to be... You know, if you just looked at, like, the last time he came here a couple years ago, he played a different venue. But if you just looked at just him mm-hmm. and listened, it was just like having an old school Skid Row show.
Okay.
You know, but this time, though, they kind of varied it up a bit. It's like he started off with kind of this bluesy song and then went into some other... Dream Forever, I think it's called. I really wasn't too familiar with it. And then they kind of went into the obligatory ballads, 18 in Life and I Remember You. Okay. And like, okay. That's like 18 in Life is a good song, but I don't like love ballads. Okay. Like ballads are fine. I don't like love ballads. And when they did I Remember You, like, right away, fourth song in, it's like, ah, oh, yes, Okay, it's like, okay.
Get rid of it now.
we have to play this shit or all the girls in the audience are going to riot. So let's get it out of the way now.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I hear you. That's great. And the Skid Row stuff he did, you know, was stuff I really enjoyed and really dug, you know. And but it was really weird, like, when I first walked in. First of all, apart from Ducky and a couple other friends who were working the show, it was just myself and Mrs. Snowy, like my wife and all that. Okay. Didn't really know anyone else, which is kind of weird being in like a Winnipeg hard rock metal venue or whatever and not really knowing too many people. So that was kind of weird and all that. When you first walk in, and you know, you have the backdrop, you know, generally there's a big band logo of the headliner and all that, especially for club shows. No, there's a big ass picture of his face.
I know, I like, saw that. For the I saw banner. That online. I was like, really? Really? You're going to have your own picture in the back?
Oh, his own
picture. Man.
And it's like, and it didn't even come across as Spinal Tap-ish. You know, like you would expect, you know, it to be ironic or something. But no, it's just like, oh, my
That's
God.
It's a posed photo. It's a posed photo, yeah.
Yeah. Like, this is so narcissistic, man. Like, oh, my God. But it was a good show. You know, I enjoyed it. The highlights for me, though, were the pin drop songs. The songs from his solo stuff, particularly American Metalhead. His Angel, from his first record, Angel Down, like that's that was definitely the highlight. And I say the pin drop song is because, you know, he's like, okay, we're gonna do a solo song.
Crickets.
Yeah, crickets. You could see foot's feet being tapped, the phones come out, and it's like, oh, fuck off, get out of here.
Yeah, well.
And all that. But yeah, it was a really good show. It was, you know, I had a good time. It was a great night of rock and roll. We had to leave. We're on Transit Tom time. The last song was Slave to the Grind.
Okay.
As I guess the door, the main door was kept open for a while. Like, Mrs. White and I, we must have got maybe like a block and a half, two blocks away. We could still hear it perfect. Like,
wow, that's loud.
Like, you know, we turned and looked at each other. It's like I said to her, holy shit, dear, we're what? Block and a half, two blocks away, and I could still hear it. They were still belting it out. And she just said, you know what, Ferd? He said he was turning 50, or he's 50 now and all that. He's still belting it out. Yeah. Some fierce. Yeah. And of course the tribute, this was just a couple days after his close friend Vinnie Paul had passed away.
Yeah.
So then you could actually see this online. Some of the metal websites have picked it up. They did a rather inspirational rendition of Cemetery Gates in honor of him and all that. And throughout the show, he just kept saying what a great guy Vinny was and how much you miss him and how hurt he was and all that. And it's too bad. But it was a fantastic time. It was a great show. I had a fantastic time. But a show of the year? No, not really even the show of the week, actually, because the next night, Black Metalers Uwata came through town. Nice big bill, big black metal show. It was Uwata, Black Moira, and the band that I was particularly looking forward to was Wolfhammer. Okay, now Wolfhammer is this U.S. black metal band. Their vocalist, their main claim, well, not maybe not their main claim to fame, that would be their latest record, but their vocalist, Adam Clemens, is the new vocalist in Skeleton Witch.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And like, I wanted to do something for this show with Wolfhammer. Okay. I wanted to have them on. I wanted to speak to them. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. Couldn't get the time off a money job to do it properly. and all that. Well, once again, I got hit with interviewer's remorse because when I got to the venue and all that, and first of all, being blown away by Wolfhammer, you know, that alone makes you go, oh, fuck. Mm-hmm. But when I'm, you know, in the middle of the night and I'm there and, you know, it's like, ah, oh, you know, I could have done this. I could have done that. What if I had done this? Just, you know, it just, it happens. It happens.
Yep.
But I consoled myself by introducing myself to Mr. Clemens. And I, you know, when he was at the merch booth, I picked up their latest record, Monuments of Ash and Bone. I cranked that this week as well. That's some fantastic stuff. And I just bought it. I wanted the physical copy of this record. I bought it right off the man.
Cool.
And he said, well, I don't have any singles of your Funny Money here. I haven't had a chance to get some change. And I said, okay, dude, you know, no problem. I got a 20 of my Funny Money here. I'm just going to give it to you. You're going to give me the CD and you're just going to give me stuff until we reach $20. Okay. So, and he ended up giving me a patch that had some pins on it as well and a sticker. Done deal. Right on.
Cool.
Thank you so much. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a great record. Wolfhammer, Monuments of Ash and Bone. If you don't mind, we're going to get a track. We're going to get into a track with that. As well, I picked up the new Slapshot album, Make America Hate Again. The mighty, the legendary Slapshot. Out on Bridge 9 Records right now. Please, by all means, go out and pick that up. That is a great, great record. And once again, as we're saying, you know, this is the current state of the world and all that. And it's so inspirational to make great, great music like this. And as well, finally, like I said, I want to get into some tunes and to get on with tonight's creature feature. But I picked up some cool vinyl. The Hemorrhage Impaled Split, Dementia Rex, that's a pretty cool one. The first Disgrace EP, which has members of Twitching Tongues and Nails and all that good stuff like that we went about, spoke about them during our interview with Twitching Tongues, picked up their first record, Songs of Suffering, DC, Straight Edge, hardcore band Coke Bust, their first record, Confined. I picked that up. And a really cool 7-inch split with Despise You and Stapled Shut. That vinyl collection of mine is real, considering I don't have a turntable.
I was just about to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really because I'm in between turntables, you know, and I'm going to be getting a new one. But whenever I find like a good deal on these records, it's like I should grab it now and then
forever I've got it.
Yeah.
Because then sometimes they're gone, you know. Don't jump on
that. That's right. That's right. Yeah. So yeah, I've been grabbing all these cool vinyls now. And I listen to them online until I get the turntable and all that. So yeah, I've got quite the vinyl collection building up. It's just like when we were teens, man. You know, you bought that new vinyl and you jumped on the bus on the way home and you kind of opened it up and you looked in the liner notes and read the thank yous and read the lyrics and looked at the collage and all that. Man, I'm pushing 50 myself and I'm still doing that shit. Mm-hmm. You know, and I guess I'm always going to, yeah. Really excited about that Wolfhammer record, Monuments of Ash and Bone. Let's get into, I guess, the first single, Law of the Rope. check that out. That is the title track from the new Slapshot record, Make America Hate Again, available now. I had to get a I had to get a physical copy of that. For sure. Go check that out. Available now on Bridge 9 Records. The fine folks over there, check it out. This was not intentional. I couldn't have made this up if I wanted to. It's just totally a coincidence that just a couple days as we speak, no, the day before we speak, before Canada Day, that we are running my recent chat with none other than Murray the Cretan from the Canadian punk rock legends, the Dayglobortions. We've had this band on the show in the past, as you may recall, Rock. Murray's a talker. He always has something to say, and he likes to share his views and his opinions, and he just likes hanging out with people and just having a grand old time. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get a hold of anyone in his camp leading up to his arrival here in Winnipeg at the venue. They were in town recently. As you may recall, a couple episodes ago, I spoke about them supporting Brujeria through town. Well, I wasn't able to get a hold of anyone from their camp and all that. It's a punk. Like, you know, it's easier to nail down Godsmack than just some lesser known hardcore bands.
Sadly, it's true. It's weird.
It's just like hard rock or hardcore and punk bands. They're so nonchalant. They're like, yeah, that sounds cool, man. Like, there's no ego there. You know, like, it's just it's hard to nail them down sometimes. But so, like, I wasn't really able to give anyone in the Dayglo camp some advance notice, which really isn't it's really not a problem. Because the second Murray walked into the venue, I went right up to him and said, hey, man, let's talk. And of course, Snowy for you, no problem, man. So I said to him, you know what? All I need is 15 minutes of your time. We'll have a really cool chat and all that. Well, 15 minutes kind of came and went. 20 minutes went by. 25 minutes went by. I think we're on the other side of 30 minutes when we finally wrapped it up. But as I alluded to a couple episodes ago, listen carefully as the interview starts to wind down, because he gives some super great news about one of his old band members. I won't spoil anything. Get to it yourself. So to get us with our chat with Murray the Cretan, we got to play a song. Got to drop a Dayglo's track, dude. And quite frankly, there is only one song this weekend that we could play, I'm sure, from the classic Feed Us a Fetus record. This is Wake Up America.
Okay, first and foremost, let's get with your last record, Armageddon Survival Guide. Came out just a couple of years ago. The previous one before that, Holy Shite, was 2004.
Yeah, right. So
are we...
I don't have my calculator.
So when you do all the math, okay, yeah, I have to ask, it's not going to be another 10 years for another day.
No, actually, it's not, because we're not in a situation right now like the regular drummer, Blind Mark, is in a stem cell research program out of Philadelphia, getting an enzyme injected into his eyes, and he's getting his vision back.
No, really?
No, I'm not kidding. It's the most amazing fucking thing.
Wow, that's fucking awesome.
It's kind of important, too, because we got kicked out of the States 7 or 8 years ago for working with our papers for 5 years, and he was in the... played at the front of the lineup then for it, and it was like, gee, Mark, I'm kind of sorry for, like, you know, it wasn't anybody's fault, really, but just having, well, it was some people's fault, maybe we could have probably got the fucking papers or something, but it was punk rock, you know, for that sort of shit. Mm-hmm. After 9-1-1, things got a little dicey. We were still, I was taking Mark to a baseball game. I'm taking the Blind Guy to a ball game in Seattle. I'm really going back tomorrow or some other shit like this. So Mark's not going to be with the band for a year because they want to keep him in top shape. So we got a friend, Vince, from LA there. He's a drummer of Suicidal, actually a lead role bass player of Suicidal Tendencies band. Vince is a consummate LA professional fucking drummer. He's a really awesome drummer. Mm-hmm. And he's the guy that Mark selected, but he's like not only an old friend of ours right there. But
This guy right here,
well dressed.
We were just saying just right how here, great you are on the skins. You want to say hello to everyone at Radioactive Metal?
Hey, what's up, Radioactive Metal? I've all got my lotions, my oils.
And yeah, I'm greased up and ready to go.
My skins are all stuffed well.
That's just the journalist in me talking.
So we're going to record. I got an album. Thanks to Donald Trump mostly, and Hillary Clinton, and some real fine inspirational stuff to write good punk rock to. It just warms my heart to see Donald Trump just revitalizing the punk scene in fucking the United States. Even the shitty bands are writing really good songs now. Thanks to that fucking idiot. You know, I mean, it's awesome. I guess I miss Harper. You know, like Chris Trudeau is mildly embarrassing. Anyways, I mean, like,
no, actually, because right here, that was going to be my next question. Since Trump got elected, has this given Daigle Abortions and every other decent band like 10 more years lifespan now?
Holy smokes! I mean, it's lit everybody up. I mean, so I don't have my Starving Wolf shirt. Those guys, I mean, they're just like, seriously, we're here for, I mean, it's really has, it's, and it's, you know, it's sort of it's a pretty high price to pay, I guess, for revitalizing the punk scene. Jeez, it's too bad we couldn't just be naturally inspired by the beauty that surrounds us in the world or something. No, it's got to be fucking miserable, wretched, fucking,
right.
You know, but it's hard to say, you know, I just sort of, nothing. I was just like those. I might have lost a couple of things. No, it's, I mean, the whole Trump thing is Trump. I mean, at the time, hoping people will notice possibly that the Republicans and the Democrats are like the same side.
It's the same thing.
It's all the same fucking thing. It's just a joke. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're like, believe me, you know, people are going, God, fucking Trump. I mean, the people are fucking running the shots in this shit. These fucking coalitions of fucking mega death corps and all of this stuff. They fucking put a lot of money in watching people and doing research. They gave the fucking voting public what they wanted, you know?
Oh, for sure.
A choice between an organ harvesting monster or a fucking, or, you know, or a narcissistic psychopath. You know, and it's just like, oh, you know, what's it going to be next? Justin Bieber? Like, thank God he's not American. I mean, that's
enough. He didn't want any ideas.
I think you have to be American still, or at least be able to pretend you're American. I don't know. I mean, speak with conspiracy shit about everybody. Mm-hmm. And everything like that. I bet you Obama's a fucking super rad dude.
Oh, I'm sure.
He seems like a
compared
really
to
fucking,
the rest, yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, Trump is probably about the most annoying thing you could ever have. I like the one that goes, look, we've given North Korea a gift here. They get to have a meeting with Donald Trump. It's like, wow, that's like fucking good fun. The last thing that ever wanted to be trapped in a room with that fucker. Grabbing about a junk all the time or something. But I mean, it's like that.
to think maybe he was, no, I don't even think this is up for debate, but the majority of the people, the American public voting, voted for the quote-unquote celebrity more than, than the man.
I mean, it's, well, of course it is. That's where you notice Jesse Ventura, the wrestler there that got into politics and stuff. He strikes me as a pretty fucking straight-up dude, really, you know? He gets into some, you know, he's got a show, so he's doing all the conspiracy theory shit. And the conspiracy theory shit, for the most part, except for maybe possibly that the queen's a fucking child-eating alien and reptile thing. You never know, though. I mean, it's like it's circumstantial evidence that even backs that up. But most of the shit, you know, is fucking the international bankers, all of these Bilderberg and Carla Group. That shit is like undeniable. You don't know what's going on in American politics or the world politics because of the fucking way everything's structured. Look at the Partnership for a New American Century. And just read that, and that'll tell you the whole fucking thing right there. That was in Carter time. A bunch of neocons in fucking Washington going to get a, essentially write up this, their manifesto was, America needs to rebuild its fucking military and everything and to establish total control, and they need to suppress the Russian Federation from any colonial shit or the Chinese, and they're going to take over all these countries in fucking the Middle East, rattle them all up, Libya, fucking Syria, fucking Iraq, and Iran, and all of these ones, with the aid of Saudi Arabia and fucking Israel. So Saudi Arabia and Israel are going to split up the whole fucking thing there. They're in the same team. I mean, it's like fucking, okay, really? Isn't that kind of, you guys are killing each other's people. Oh, yeah, well, those are just other people. They're not really our people.
Right.
People, I mean, there's lots of people. You know, whatever. I mean, and fucking, and this whole thing, it goes, but, you know, this can only, is going to happen in, without a catalyzing event, like fucking a new Pearl Harbor, they go. And the people that signed this thing, Dick Cheney, Rumsfeld, fucking, what's his name, fucking Wolfowitz, all of these motherfuckers ended up in fucking Bush's senior fucking thing. And then what happened, go through the Bushes, and then Obama comes in, and what happens? They didn't even fucking leave. The same people. Trump's going to change, they're going to save the world and make America great again. Oh, we'll be lighting the streets with crosses with burning colored people on them or something. I don't know. That's maybe a bit of an exaggeration. But still, yeah, I know. Well, I mean, the slogan is a little weird, you know? I mean, his concepts are a little odd sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think he thinks he's in control. No, really, I think he's not super bright. I don't know.
I've
got an IQ of 170. Nobody gets there. Nobody wants an IQ. They won't tell you fucking IQ because it makes you act all fucking wacky in there. So, geez, you're just only two less than Einstein. I'm thinking that's probably, maybe I'm thinking, well, an IQ.
A bit exaggerated.
I mean, the whole shit, it's like, so I mean, all of this fucking stuff. I was hoping people would realize that's kind of like what my record is called, inspired by the election and everything like that. And it's called hate speech.
Stands to reason.
I mean, well, you can't say anything about anybody without it being hate speech.
So this day and age.
And as usual, you know, I got pretty non-discriminatory about everything, just right across the board, the whole fucking thing. Religion, just one at a time. It's going to fucking chop the shit all up about it. And I mean, whatever, I don't hear people disagree with me. I'm just a singer and a punk fan.
Right.
It doesn't fucking burn my ass. Just prove to me I'm wrong. You know, and fuck, I hope I'm wrong, really. You know, I mean, I like being proven wrong, although it doesn't happen very much. Occasionally, I guess maybe should I have taken those 20 hits of acid? Okay, maybe I was a mistake. I'll admit it or something.
You got the car keys?
Yeah, well, yeah, I might have been wrong. It's another long story.
So, with this PC world that we live in, how does that affect your writing? Or will it?
How does it affect my writing? Well, it makes it a lot easier, actually, because basically my job is offending people.
Right.
Now you don't have to do anything. It's like fucking losing your shit, eh? Like, it's a... Well, no, it's actually okay, because to be honest, number one, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not fucking directing this anything at an individual. The thing I find quite amusing is, you know, everybody's slagging all of these social justice warriors and shit like that. I'm a fucking social justice warrior. I mean, fucking, when I was a kid, I remember being 17 years old.
You were one of the original social justice warriors.
I'm fucking incensed about the injustice in the world. I mean, do not tolerate intolerance around here. You know, sort of shit like this. And I remember what it was like to be a fucking kid. And these people, they're kids. They're fucking, they've got the things that they want are what everybody wants, just the right to the pursuit of their own fucking thing without being fucked by everybody else. And, you know, and an equal chance of shit. And that's what everybody wants, really. You know, I think it's dangerous. There's other things that are manipulating fucking people's perception of things in society. And they kind of, you know, I think they should be very careful, like these Antifa kids and stuff like that. They should really look at who the fuck what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Because you can't be fucking fighting Nazis if you fight the Nazis, they're fucking, that's what they need. They can't exist without the polar opposite on the field. There's only it's a sort of an old saying, people say it, there's only one fucking battle that has to be won, and that's yourself.
That's right.
Really. And you just lead by example, not by fucking, you can't make anybody think anything. It's just people have to fucking realize what the fuck's going on. It's, the world shouldn't be driven by material gain. It should be driven by a desire to fucking, to fulfill, to have everybody fucking lifted to the same level. And if that was our payment and the way we judge how we fucking get through life, things would be very different. And I think that's really what all these kids want and shit in universities and everything. They're trying, it's racial equality and rights for everybody without anybody being excluded from it. That's what they want. But you can't get that by segregating everybody into little groups. That's super dangerous.
No, it is.
Because once you got them all broken down into groups, you can say, well, we're going to get everybody that's except for these ugly looking weird people or something like that. Chances are they're going to be on the wrong side of it. What finally goes down. And I think there should be more observed. A lot of energy gets spent these days on being accepted by the group. People are spending all their energy on that instead of on thinking about what is actually this actually mean? What are we doing here? And a lot of the meanings have been inverted. The liberals have gone to the right. The other ones have gone to the left. It's hard to fucking live. Everything's fogged out. It's all upside down. And it's like, Jesus Christ, people aren't noticing it, really. Because they're being, having their skills stripped from them continually. You know, they can't find a fucking way home now. I mean, could you imagine what would happen if the 5G network, for instance, kicks in, the Internet of Things takes off, they start running, because you know how they want to run it, like social media. So your fucking house is now part of your Facebook account. And oops, I just sort of said the wrong thing to somebody on Facebook, and I've lost my privilege to everything.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a world like that?
Mm-hmm. It's coming.
And I mean, oh, fucking rights, it's coming.
It's coming.
Fucking rights. I mean, that's why there's so much, that's why they got fucking clowns running politics, putting on a fucking game show, got everybody fighting with each other, because there's something that you're not seeing that's happening right under your nose. And, you know, and fucking when that baby kicks in, you know, fucking shit could change quickly. Mm-hmm. In a year, they could fucking have, and imagine people, I mean, that, because if you can't handle the technology, you're going to be handicapped. You're not going to be able to compete in the world. Well, we think, because we're a benevolent society, we'll take care of these handicapped people. We've got these beautiful little spot, like a little countdown to handicapped people over here. And, you know, and if all the privilege is denied, well, now you're handicapped too. So, it's fucking easy. And they'll do it with a smile on their fucking face. And people will accept it because they fucking love the convenience and they didn't even notice the shit that was taken from them. You know, it's a frightening situation, man, really.
It is.
You know what I mean? The fact that you can see it reflected in all of the art, the fringe fucking arts and fucking people like angry bands and shit like this and everywhere. People see it, you know, and stuff, but they just, it's not registering. We're going to get beyond this Democrats and Republicans shit.
Oh,
and fucking get really down to the core of shit. And, but it's a lot. You can't turn off the TVs. They don't want us to give up the stuff. I fucking just got this fucking BMW and an iPhone and all, you know, and whatever. And I pity the kids. I don't pity the kids. The world's fucking beautiful. I don't think human beings are really going to be able to. If we started fucking shit up too much, we'd be gone. Bam, like that. The fucking world is fucking capable of taking care of shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
It'd shake us off like a fucking bunch of fleas.
It wouldn't take long.
Oh, yeah. Fucking rights are good. There's something around the plate. Anything. It'll happen. Wipes is so clean every fucking, you know, every so now and then just fucking starts from scratch again.
Nature's just going to say, I've got a nice age for you.
We're pretty fucking arrogant. I guess you're thinking, oh, yeah, we're at the fucking top of the now. And we're just a speck on the fucking surface, man. Mm-hmm. The big scheme. People are out of sync with the whole universe, man. They're lost in their little world there. When really, there's fucking a fucking universe that you could fucking be part of. Shit. I just thought of that. We're part of a larger organism, which is part of a bigger one, and bigger and bigger. And oh my God, it's fucking infinite. So why not? If it goes in one direction, theory probably goes in the other direction.
For sure, yeah. For sure. Not that you're old or anything, but you're not a spring
35,
chicken.
35, I know, 35. Dude, you, looking a little rough.
You still have the punk rock piss and vinegar in you, and so do I. Like,
well, yeah, it helps to be homeless and addicted to drugs and fucking all fucked up and shit like that, because that way you get to feel the pain, you know, and it's still real. I fought off after the time, you know, I'm not fucking more than money, but I know what you're looking for. And anyway, mm-hmm. My kids are growing up and they fucking got rid of my wives, all of them. So basically just me against the fucking, I mean, so, right. You know, so I don't have any responsibilities as such. I was still super tight with my kids and my family. Right. I mean, go along a lot better with the ex-wives than I did with them when I was married to the children. We're all super tight now.
That's good
family shit. One of my kids is on her way to Montebello right now.
Oh, man.
She just went hitchhiking past this train hopping stuff like that. She's like, gee, honey, I'm so glad you got off the dope, eh? But fucking isn't this train hopping shit a little even more dangerous?
Yeah, what are you going to say? You shouldn't do that? Look at the shit you did growing up. Like, I'm sure.
Well, I know. And you can't think and you can't tell your kids they're not going to listen to you. You sort of just have a bit of faith, really. And she's a smart kid. She's got a lot of talent. She's been exposed to some shit that I wish she'd never seen.
Of course.
But it's like on the coast, it's rough. There's some fucking, there's a drug problem going on out there in a major way, you know. It's, you know, what you see around here. But it's worse even in Vancouver. Fucking way worse.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
That's where the worst there is in the world, just about. It's fucking, I mean, apparently, in the city of, I think it's Kabul or whatever, in Afghanistan, got a real bad heroin problem there, too. Wow. Even there, it's sort of like, the Taliban or whatever kind of keep it off the streets or something. There, it's like fucked up in Vancouver. It's like, well, there's like fucking seriously thousands of people shooting that dope right in front of me right now. Like, just don't look to the side when you're walking down Instant Street down there, because it's fucking rough. And there's dead people everywhere.
That's scary.
Roping off. There's a third one in the corner this morning. He's walking around. The cops are putting the fucking tape out. Welfare Day, it's just fucking nonstop people out of there. Yeah, but you said clock. They just stopped doing that because the numbers were so high, it's horrifying everything. On Welfare Day, the welfare clock, counting the fucking OBs.
Oh, wow.
And it's all that. It's not that.
That's scary.
Yeah, they got to fucking make some fucking major decisions there. Like, got to get rid of the crime to start with. So you got to give away all the drugs. And government is way cheaper to just give it to them. Pure controlled stuff. And here you go, prescription, fucking they can pay for it, they can do whatever. But it's gonna be way less than policing the crime, all of the shit like that. I don't know what. And then it's on their backs to educate kids properly and give them the fucking tools they need to deal with shit as they find it in life and stuff like that. Not turn them into a bunch of little fucking unthinking sheep. Give them some fucking real tools and maybe they'll fucking use any of the places where they've done this. It was, there's a big rush at first where they have to deal with a wave of new, you know, I guess you could, you know, the smart kids are fucking maybe not going to survive it, you know, sort of thing. But it tapers down real fast until it's just them and the ones that can't quit anymore. And it's odd, like I heard the only complaint about it in Portugal was this one heroin addict said, the only problem here is they forgot about us because now we can never quit. We have an unlimited supply of pure heroin. And we have, I'm going, yeah, well, okay. That was your choice originally. I'm sorry that it has to go like this, but it's better than what's happening. And shit, I don't know. I mean, it's another more dilemma there, but whatever. Fuck it. That's an easier one to swallow, maybe, for some people, I guess. I don't know.
All right.
It's just going to be done. I mean, I'm just a fucking singer and a punk band. I can fucking see this shit. I'm well educated and stuff, but still. It makes me think that maybe the fucking political system, the will is not there to solve these problems. Which, you know, and that's it, because they're fucking just essentially this populist politics. All they do is they say, they give the people what they want. They do a little bit of research, find out what they want. Doesn't matter if they're fucking, it's ridiculous. They say, oh yeah, that's what we're going to give you. We're going to give you all of the shit you want. Vote for us. you know? And they go, fuck, this guy's gonna give us everything we want. Boris, they have no intention of fucking any of it.
No.
They're just like, they've got their own agenda and it's going on fucking just rain or shine, just like the weather, right? So,
yeah, and it's generally a corporate agenda. Yeah. For sure.
Or generally, yeah, well, there's not much of that, really. It's all about the money.
One of the things that the Dayglos over the years, I wouldn't say was in the punk world, but the mainstream world, you guys kind of over the years developed a reputation for offensive lyrics, offensive album covers.
You gotta start like, giving people some positive things and stuff like that. But it's satire. It's like right. It is like essentially like fucking cartoon in the paper. Except I take some other, they go pretty, I gotta admit, I got a vulgar sense of humor. I think farting is funny. I fucking, you know, and stuff. But when I get up and I fart in the morning, I gauge the quality of my day by how my first fart was. And it's a really good ripper. It's gonna be a good day. You know, if it leaves a stain in my pants, well, I'm probably gonna be late for whatever, you know. You know what I mean? But, you know, and I find that I'm a little bit immature, possibly, I guess. You know? So I do have a vulgar sense of humor. I do pick topics in an odd way, like, you know, it's, and you know, stuff like fuck my shit sense would be a good example. Is just because my mom used to always tell me, you can't tell the rest of the world what to do until you clean up your own backyard. So it's like telling people what to do when your own shit stinks, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It's like a metaphor. It's, I mean, but, you know, and I just have a strange way of putting a metaphor. I'm trying to be funny. Because what the fuck can tell somebody something that is going to go against their system of beliefs? And if you fucking give them something that they question, they're going to fucking, they kick into defense mode. That's like a physical attack. And they shut down their brain functions and go into defense mode, and you're not going to get a thing through to them. But if you got them laughing, their defenses are down. And the stuff just leaks in. You know? So that's the plan. It's a carefully conspiring to manipulate the minds. So I'm not interested in money or anything. That's about mind control. Yeah. My fingers ring in his head. I make him think and say what I want them, just like the television does. Do the same thing. You know, and it's fun. Why not?
For
but
sure.
It works for the television, it works for society. Obey, go to work, don't question. If anybody says anything against it, alienate them and ridicule them, call them crazy conspiracy theorists. It's just pounded into them all the fucking time on the TV. It becomes your reality. And people like go to a 9-to-5 job and spend 4 hours watching TV. That's their fucking life. They don't even have any reality in their life.
That's not living. That's
putting
existing.
Their thoughts in their fucking head. Mm-hmm. They go, oh man, I only watch what I want. Everything on TV, it says the same thing continually. You know, and it's the same shit. It doesn't matter what kind of how it's dressed up. If you look at it now, it all says the same shit. And this is all the time. And even if you're not paying attention, your subconscious mind is. And that's how that's how it works. They put a lot of fucking research into this. Started back in the fucking 20s and 30s with this Edward Bernays guy. Mm-hmm. Nephew of Sigmund Freud. He's the guy who actually published Sigmund Freud's work on Bumble. And he got into, he invented advertising. His first job, check this out, this is how it started. He got hired to, because women weren't smoking back then, they weren't allowed to smoke.
Yeah.
And he got hired to get the women to smoke. Torches of Freedom, he called them. He got these debutantes at the end of the parade, big media thing, and they all lit up cigarettes. Torches of Freedom, they said. Every woman in the States was smoking. Right fucking 5 minutes later, they were, fuck this, I'm smoking. Look at this. Kiss my ass.
And their sales fell.
You know, they got no shirts on, they're walking around, you know. And so, I mean, they're like manipulating society by luring them with their desires and just and feeding them with the fucking line continually. You know, and so why not do the same damn thing? Hit them in the blow the belt. The youth. So John Lennon was a guy who, when I was a kid, I was really into the Beatles and John Lennon. And when he said, we're bigger than God, I was only like 8 years old. I knew exactly what he was saying there. He's not saying he's, my mom's going, he's telling you he's more powerful than God is. He's saying he's God. And like, no, he's not. He's saying he has more influence over people than God
has. Yeah, than organized
and
religion.
And he does, and he knows it.
He did.
And now he's dead, eh? And like, I was like, gee, eh? And so, I mean, really, you want to see the two biggest influences in the Dayglos? John Lennon and Frank Zappa.
I can see that.
Zappa, big Zappa fan. And it just happened that Rock went shitty and started to really suck when I was in a Black Sabbath and shit like that. And Ozzy quits Black Sabbath. Everything just went to hell.
That's it.
Fucking, they're like, singing this fucking horrible shit. And I'm just like, ah. And Frank Zappa and fucking shit like that is what I went to train. And then I fucking, then the fucking punk rock, I started hearing about people spit on old ladies and stuff. And I go, ah, it's funny. But all they say, you wouldn't play them on TV. You said, it's like the terrible musicians, but they spit on old ladies. So I'm like, well, that's a start, you know, so happened. And I kind of, you know, I started hearing it. I heard, like, the Dead Boys. I bought the Dead Boys back in the Young Lions. One of the first albums I bought. I took it on, I put it on. And he goes, I don't need anyone. I don't need no mom or dad. And I just, like, turn around and go, Mom. She goes, I just made you a sandwich for me. And I go, fuck you. I don't need you. And crank it up a little bit louder. And she's like, that's nice, honey. I'll just put it on the table.
I think we were all there.
I know, yeah. Yeah. That is, so I just incorporated them. I didn't, like, the way, reason the Dagos sound the way they sound is because I didn't fucking really hear very much about rock. And I just made an assumption. I think it's going to be like this. Weird. I was thinking. And so I just played weird, heavy, and loud, and obnoxious, and fucking did it. And got in there all angry and everything like that and made this stuff that was really pretty more almost metal, really, in a way. The early stuff, like, I mean, fucking acting like Black Sabbath. I mean, I wasn't really trying to pretend to be anything for the most part, you know, it was just me, fucking. And, you know, and I was really excited. First, I thought, these punk kids, once I started playing the punk, I was like, I hate this shit. Hey, they're like going on, I hate this, and I hate that, and I hate everything. You know, it's like fucking playing that shit and super loud. And it kind of caught on a bit, I guess. It's like a hybrid, I suppose, of some kind.
In there. Finally, we'll let you get on with your evening, but we're going to play a little game here.
Uh-oh.
We're going to play Creedence Choice.
Okay.
Extensive back catalog you've had and all that. You're going to pick one. The music gods are taking everything away from you except this one recording, maybe this one concert, just this
one concert.
Anything. Where I'm taking everything away from you except this one.
Except one. Could it be
one thing?
The thing I'm really most happy about is that Blind Mark got on the fucking the last record. Holy shit! I got Blind Mark on it. That was super important to me to get him on there. Now we're gonna get one with Sketchy. See, that's where we are. We get this other one. It's gonna be Vince on drums because we'll record it before Mark comes back. We'll do another one with Mark, you know, but we're going to get that recorded right away because Vince is with us. We're going to play this fucking tour and look at recording. We've got enough for an album, 24-minute long album, something like that. It's going to smoke. Cool. You're like, it's going to raise a few eyebrows, too, I tell you. Fucking hate speech. But it's not. It's not negative at all. It's actually, I mean, although it's pretty stern. It's got some very strong language on it, you might say. I mean, got a song about white people. It's a total racist song about white people. And the chorus goes, here comes some white people feeling sorry for themselves. Here comes more white people feeling sorry for themselves. Here comes some white people feeling sorry for themselves. It's all about themselves. Fuck everyone else. In the end of it, in the last verse, it goes, so these white people called to their angry white god to come and save the world because it's going to the dogs because they're going to fucking never be running them out because they're fucking tired of their shit. Nobody wants to fight their wars for them anymore and shit like this. But turns out that God wasn't a fucking man and she laughed at him. Or God wasn't white and she laughed at him as they get swallowed up by the night. There goes those white people feeling sorry for themselves. That's just my interpretation of the next 100 years right there. Just, it's going to happen. And probably for the better too. Because white people have been fucking shit up for a long time. Yeah, I've got no problem. I'm not going to be here. I mean, I didn't do it as such, but fucking, I mean, I'm not ashamed of anything that I've done or anything. But boy, you start looking at our past and fuck.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to go very far before shit gets fucking pretty bad, you know? I mean, my grandfather was born in Volpindi, India, for instance. But he wasn't there because he loved India. He was there because his parents were fighting in the fucking colonialist wars, taking over countries, fucking genocide and shit like that. And I was like, I mean, they were easier on India than they were on most places, but these fucking guys are cruising through Africa, killing shit, fucking whatever, bringing the word of God. Now it's like, God, I hope democracy doesn't come knocking on my door today, because that sure sucks balls. You know, oh, yeah, democracy here. We killed your children. They were on the front lawn. We're going to call it collateral damage. Maybe your neighbors. Your neighbors killed them. We'll say they did, and then we're going to attack the whole neighborhood, killing everybody. By the way, we're killing you, too. Yeah. Setting you free. Wonderful. Going around forcing democracy down people's throats in countries that have democratically elected governments, like Syria, for instance, actually had an election 2 years ago. And while the people were being shelled by ISIS with American-supplied weapons, they fucking got 80% turnout to the polls and unanimously voted Assad in. Yeah. Oh, he won by a landslide. 80% turnout in the fucking election. They don't mention that very often on the fucking news, though, do they?
No, not at all.
These are democratically elected fucking sovereign states. Libya, the fucking highest standard of living in the entire area. Fucking free medical, free education, free dental, free everything for everybody in the country. Fucking, you can go to any university on earth if you could pass the entrance examinations that pay for everything for you to go there if you're a citizen. It is now a fucking just desolate wasteland. Fucking wonderful. Way to go. Good job there. Should have voted for Hillary because we'd be fucking in a nuclear war now. Instead of just fucking teetering at the edge. I mean, whatever. Since the war machine never stops, eh? Unless people stop fucking just supporting. It's only hope. But chances of having them. I'm in the New World Order. That's a good idea. They just ashamed the people that they selected to survive. That's all. Half a billion people, fuck, the world would be way better. People fucking shit up and making a big mess of the place. Let's give nature a boost. We don't have to wait for a plague. We'll just like, here we go. Let's
just do it ourselves.
Fucking half a billion beautiful place. Unfortunately, it's like the half a billion of the most useless, stuck up assholes the world's ever produced. Whatever. I mean, fucking, it's crazy, the whole thing. I don't think they really need to. I think there's planning for everybody, really. It's this artificial market of protectionism that leaves things the way they are. You know, they got to hold shit back so we can't get it. So if you put the price up, so we do all this fake money system, I mean, it's fucking joke. Doesn't mean anything to anything that's real. Because it's not real. It's just that fucking imagine. Money's not even. It's just real eyes and numbers. And if we don't like the looks of numbers, we'll just change my bag. We'll just look. Oh, fucking spam. Just to. It's the keys to the cage, baby. And everybody's just like fucking not only locking themselves in, you know, because they're safe and cutting them warm and their fucking little souls and whatever. I don't know. It's crazy. I got a mental problem. Man. I can't fucking shut the shit off. Or sometimes it's like massive amounts of drugs to fucking quiet it all down, whatever, and it's like it can barely function, but whatever. Fucking. But you know, I'm not saying I'm right or anything. It's just something I noticed.
Right.
Like, I have a reasonably observant. I'm good at seeing patterns. Unfortunately, yeah. Probably be a lot happier if I didn't see this shit.
Yeah. Blissful ignorance.
Oh, what? You still didn't answer your question. So, yeah, I did Armageddon survival guides fucking because of Mark. I mean, that's how you're throwing cockroaches. If I had a fucking copy of cockroaches, I'd go, see, I told you, listen to this shit. See, it was real. I'm not making it up. I didn't imagine it.
from that same classic album, Fetus of Fetus. That's, I guess maybe that's the complimentary song to Wake Up America. That is Proud to Be a Canadian, which, of course, I want to send send it out to our good buddy Aaron. I know he would appreciate a really cool song like that. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Murray, for taking the time out and everyone involved with bringing that. You may rock. You may have heard in the background of that interview a young lady's voice kind of taking it all in. That was my buddy KK. Okay, and Downing? I had a quick little, yeah. Well, that's just her nickname. I never questioned it. Okay, and there's a quick little lesson in fangirling here. Like, okay, when you think of fangirls, okay, it's like 1964, all those screaming girls for the Beatles, and then, you know, the Bay City Rollers years later, and then all throughout the 80s, and then there's the boy bands and all that. So you kind of attribute fangirling to that. You know what? It doesn't matter. When you're a young lady and you are very passionate about music, it doesn't matter. You could be the hardest hardcore chick, but when they meet one of their heroes, when they meet the equivalent of the Bay City Rollers to them, like my friend KK met Murray, she was stoked. She was really excited, and she was just fangirling out. Snowy, can you introduce me to him? I want to meet Murray. I want to meet him. And, and this is an adult girl just getting, you know, all excited about that. I said, okay, yeah, fine. Let's go. I'll go introduce you. And she's got that, you know, that stargazed look in her eyes. I said, here, dear, I'll do you one better. Why don't you come, you know, into the back, and we'll talk to Murray together with him and all that. She's like, oh, no way. Would you let me do that? That's so cool. And then, yes, relax. It's cool. You know, I'm sure Murray would love to hang out with you and all that. So I got a firsthand look, you know, something I never really forgot. But once again, I got a firsthand look in fangirling and all that. And it's just, that's never going to change. And if, you know, I wouldn't want that to change, not only for KK and Corrine and anyone else, but just don't change. Don't ever lose that spirit, that love, and that passion about music. Don't ever lose it. And I know I won't. For sure. Before we get on out of here, you know what? I think, it'd be kind of very appropriate. Maybe let's go out with Sebastian Bach's American Metalhead, shall we say. Okay, and but before we get on out of here, though, I want to make a quick little announcement. My friend Ninja Cat Jess, who I've mentioned on this show, volunteered with the Ninja Cat Productions. She is with child now. I'm so excited. Yes, congratulations, Jess. We're so excited for you. And this is a good thing, because you know what? I get to play Cool Uncle Snowy. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to start spoiling her, buy her first guitar, you know, take her to a show. I'm going to buy her a set of drums, if nothing, just to annoy the hell out of her parents. You know what I mean? Because that's
so the job nice.
Of the Cool Uncles. You have to do that. That's the thing. That's what my dad once told me. What you have to do with young parents, make sure you get the kid, like, the loudest, most obnoxious toy. You know, just being a smartass, and I am now. Okay. You know.
You gotta
get them the most loudest. No, I'm not a smartass and all that. So, I can't wait. I can't wait to start playing Cool Uncle Snowy. That's going to be great. Congratulations, Jess.
Yes, congratulations. Or when you're a grandparent like I am, you when you get the grandkids here, you fill them up with sugar and then you send them on their way.
Oh, hell yeah. That's trust me, that has crossed my mind.
Sure. Yes, but you got to time it right. You got to time it right, though. You wait about an hour before they leave. And you say, here, you want some of this? You want some of that? And then they leave. And then you know that they're bouncing off the walls once they get home. And
that's right. That's right. That's right. Oh, yeah. For sure. For sure. Well, my friend, thank you so much. Tonight was a lot of fun. And can't wait to do it again when our American compatriots show up with us next week. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been an O Canada episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
Signing off.
O Canada, terre de nos aïeux.
RadioactiveMetal.org, or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on PureRockRadio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all the other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to RadioactiveMetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.